Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Good afternoon and welcome. If you're one of the 20 million Americans with thyroid disease, you're probably looking for relief and some answers. And we hope we're going to get those for you today because you certainly deserve the answers. My second guest is one of the country's most trusted experts on thyroid disease. We'll examine the symptoms of possible thyroid disorder, explore optional tests and treatments, and look at some of the facts and controversies surrounding thyroid, including using thyroid treatment for weight loss, depression, and more. But first, we're talking with another pioneer in her own field. It's a medical condition that affects millions of families directly and indirectly, and that's depression during pregnancy. Dr. Shoshana Bennett is a pioneer in the field. She's a clinical psychologist. She founded Postpartum Assistance for Mothers more than 20 years ago and has appeared many times on national radio and TV, including ABC's 2020. She says her new book, it's called Pregnant on Prozac, is the first ever guide for women about pregnancy and antidepressant use. Is it safe? Well, today we'll separate some of the myths from the facts, and we'll look at some of the controversies surrounding that and some alternative treatments. Dr. Shoshana Bennett, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Very pleased to have you here because I know you've done a tremendous amount of work in this field. And it seems to be an increasing problem, am I right?
You know, it seems to be increasing, but also we're getting much better at diagnosing and really considering it a real disorder, as opposed to in the past when even doctors were told that treatment wouldn't be necessary in pregnancy because the hormones would take care of them.
Right, and I think one of the things that makes your work so useful is that you actually call yourself a survivor of two life-threatening bouts of postpartum depression, both of which went undiagnosed. So you know firsthand what it's like to experience that.
Absolutely. This is I was a special education teacher. I never thought I'd be doing this as my life's work, but I thought I lost myself postpartum. It was nothing but doom and gloom and horrible anxiety and scary thoughts going through my mind, irritability, anger, very deep depression, hopelessness. I really thought my life was over. So when I realized that there was a name for this and that it was treatable, I vowed to myself I would never let another mom and her family suffer if I had anything to do about it.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. People have known about postpartum depression, I think, for a long time. I certainly remember people talking about it in England when I lived there, and that was more than 24 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's only recently that I think we've given it serious attention, maybe in the media and the field.
Yes, and it's interesting you said that. First of all, England is light years ahead of the United States. We're catching up, but England is one country of a few that were really far ahead of the U.S. as far as research and treatment. I started reading everything I could get my hands on from all over the world back in the 80s and realized that we had a lot of catching up to do. But as far back as women have been having babies, a certain percentage, 15 to 20%, we're talking about 1 in 7, have been clinically depressed during pregnancy and postpartum.
Now, your new book is called Pregnant on Prozac, The Essential Guide to Making the Best Decision for You and Your Baby. And you call this really a breakthrough guide because there's not, I certainly haven't seen anything else written about this topic, depression during pregnancy.
Yeah.
The people who were depressed before they got pregnant, do they tend to get more depressed? That would be interesting. Do they tend to get more depressed during pregnancy, or tell us what that's usually like?
Not always, but typically yes. Typically, if there is a predisposing factor to depression, if she's already depressed, often what happens is we're even more vulnerable during pregnancy and postpartum, and we do tend to get more depressed. Not always. You know, hormones are very strange beasts, so we never quite know with one individual to the next. Some women feel better, and some women feel worse. But what's most important, I mean, the book was written, and it is a one-of-a-kind. kind. There isn't any book like that out there. Women who know they're high risk for depression want to know what their options are. They can get a plan of action together even before they become pregnant. Or women who are suffering with depression, again, they can get a really good plan together to help themselves so they're not suffering through pregnancy. And what's very important to know is that depression itself crosses the placenta. I mean, the depression itself has, releases chemicals in the body, and it changes the uterine environment. So treatment is extremely important. Now, treatment does not necessarily mean medication, but some kind of intervention is necessary, or else it's bad for the mother, it's bad for the unborn and the developing baby, it's bad for the whole family.
Yeah, I definitely want to look at some of the treatments that you talk about in the book. For women who maybe weren't depressed, you know, and have never been depressed, and suddenly, you know, they find themselves depressed during pregnancy, does the fact that it's supposed to be one of the, you know, the best times of their lives, does it exacerbate the situation?
Oh, it certainly can, and that's an excellent question. I mean, one of the first things I'll do when a woman contacts me is to make sure that the myths of motherhood are dispelled. Because often, you know, if we're walking around thinking this is supposed to be the happiest time in our life and we're supposed to be glowing and joyous, you know, and when we look at commercials, I mean, where are those women who are hanging their heads over the toilet, retching for 9 months? I mean, we don't see those images. And so women think that they're the only one, and they'll always feel like this, and they lose a perspective. So yes, realistic expectations and learning how to roll with whatever comes up, knowing you've got the resources to handle it, really building in that perspective is very, very important.
Okay. And does it follow that if somebody becomes depressed during pregnancy that they'll get postpartum, they'll continue with postpartum depression?
It does make a woman higher risk, and that is why a woman should definitely be screened for depression, I believe, at least once a trimester, not only to be taken care of and treated during pregnancy, but also to make sure that she's taken care of before the postpartum hits.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk Dr. Shosh about some of the treatments, some of the controversies and myths, and see where we stand on this. I'm talking to Dr. Shoshana Bennett. Her book is called Pregnant on Prozac, and you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
If you like to read fiction, check out Book Talk Podcast Reviews, brought to you weekly by Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Go to conversationslive.net and click on the menu at Book Talk to hear reviews of an eclectic range of books. We review fiction from chick lit and mystery to suspense and literary, from new to old, overlooked and forgotten. Check out Book Talk Podcast today at conversationslive.net. If you'd like to suggest a book for review, email info@conversationslive.net or call 206-414-6159.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And I'm talking with Dr. Shoshana Bennett. We're talking about being pregnant on Prozac, depression during Prozac. And coming up in the second half hour today, we'll be talking with Dr. Mario Skuga, who is one of America's most trusted experts on thyroid disorder. So, Dr. Shosh, I wanted to talk about this. When a pregnant woman feels she's in trouble, when she's like, you know, I'm just not feeling myself, I'm feeling depressed, and where does she begin? Does she go to a medical doctor, a psychologist?
Well, certainly she should go to a healthcare practitioner she trusts. And unfortunately, there aren't too many that who really specialize in mood disorders during pregnancy, but at least start, certainly she can start with her OB. Hopefully the OB has the name of a therapist who specializes in this area. And I really do want to emphasize this is a specialty. So it's not enough to just go to a good therapist. You know, a person really should have training because there are specific things you want to ask, specific things you want to look for. If you go to the MD, chances are the MD will be writing a prescription because that's what they're taught how to do.
Right.
But I really believe that, you know, if in fact the woman needs medication, which she really might not, but if that's true, she should still receive a recommendation, a referral to a therapist who is trained in this area. Pills aren't enough.
So what kind of questions should she ask her medical professional to see if this person is the right person to treat her?
Well, certainly, again, the person should have expertise in, if she's being prescribed a medication, the professional should have clinical expertise, hands-on experience treating pregnant women. Because, again, until very recently, just a few years ago, even psychiatrists were taught that there's no need to even learn how to treat a pregnant woman because the reproductive hormones will take care of her. She won't even be depressed. Mm. So she really might need to look. The wonderful OBs in my area will say the following to a mom who comes to them. They will say, I am ready to prescribe you something if, in fact, you need it. Please go talk to Dr. Shoshana, and she'll give you an assessment. If after that assessment she suggests a medication, call me back, and I will put it in your hands. So that's ideal.
Right, so you really want to look for people who are going to work in partnership with you.
Absolutely, because often, you know, with excellent nutrition, with wonderful sleep at night, and yes, even new mothers and pregnant women can get some sleep. There are some wonderful ways to help with that. Mm. Even if a new mother is breastfeeding, I outline that in Postpartum Depression for Dummies, you can absolutely get some good chunks of uninterrupted sleep at night. And with omega-3s, with some excellent breaks. You know, I want to get a well-rounded picture of what is going on with that woman. For instance, what is causing the depression? I will ask her questions like, are you able to sleep at night? You know, a pregnant woman who's 8 months pregnant might go to her OB and say, I'm having trouble sleeping. Well, the OB might answer, if he or she is not well trained, well, of course you're having trouble sleeping, you're 8 months pregnant.
Right.
But really what the follow-up question should be is, why do you think you're having trouble? And she might say, well, I'm fine physically. You know, I'm not, you know, I can go right back to sleep after I use the bathroom and I don't have much heartburn or it, but my head is racing with anxious thoughts and I'm worried about being a mom and I don't, you see, so questions can, you know, can elicit the proper information.
Now, you say in the book, if you're on medication and you find out you're pregnant, you know, a lot of people would just automatically stop taking the medication.
Yes.
You say don't do that and beware of medical professionals who advise you to do that.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad you asked me about that. That is probably the worst thing a mother can do. And again, she's trying to do the best thing for her growing baby. Often women, you know, with all the best planning, she still gets pregnant, even if she's not planning on it, and she freaks. You know, she gets scared and she thinks, oh my goodness, and she stops cold turkey. Very, very dangerous for her and for the baby. It can even cause seizures. I mean, you never just stop cold turkey, often a psychiatric medication. What she should do is contact a medical professional, possibly the one who prescribed the medication to her in the first place, and get a solid, knowledgeable plan of action so she can either wean off or continue on, or lower a dose, or switch to another one more appropriate during pregnancy, but she needs a plan. Never, ever stop cold turkey.
So let's look at some of the treatments that you might recommend for somebody who is depressed. And obviously, since the title of the book is, you know, Pregnant on Prozac, let's begin with that one, because, you know, instant reaction I think of most people is, no, we don't want to do that.
Right. And Pregnant on Prozac, by the way, is a wonderful marketing title, but nobody's pushing Prozac on pregnant women. As a matter of fact, it's so funny. Sometimes I'll get these emails from people going, oh, Dr. Shoshana, are you pushing Prozac? And I'm just laughing. I said, first read the book and then tell me. If you still have that worry, I'll talk to you about it. Of course not. As a matter of fact, I'm known as the natural whenever possible therapist. So I'm a big believer in natural whenever possible, natural remedies. So after all that, I forgot your question.
Well, I want to look at some of the treatments,
sure.
Right? But let's address the Prozac one first of all.
Sure.
I mean, there are women out there on Prozac.
Yes.
And
yes.
You say it is safe.
Well, nobody's going to use that word. Actually,
right.
No
right.
One. I mean, you know, but yes, according to what we know to date, what I did is outline the information from proper resources, not just flying through the internet as some people do, but I've got the really excellent resources and compiled it so that women can make their own choices. And what we know is that it is most important for a woman to be well. So she needs to take what works. And if it happens to be Prozac and she's doing everything right with the sleep and the nutrition and the, you know, everything else is good, and she still needs the medication because the natural remedies are not helping her, then by all means, a doctor who specializes in the area would say, then be on Prozac if that's what helps you. So the key is to take what works.
Mm.
If it's not Zoloft, we have more information on Zoloft, but if it doesn't work for her, then that's not proper for her.
Yeah, and you say that a lot of women will come off medication in the last month of the pregnancy because they don't want to, because of the impending birth, and you say that's wrong too in most cases.
Well, again, the doctors I work the closest with do not have women do that because that makes very, very little sense. Because when she needs it the very most is when the hormones plummet, when the estrogen and progesterone postpartum drop down to just about zero during the first two days. So the thought of her not having the medication on board when she needs it the very most makes very little sense to mm-hmm. those who devote their professional lives to this. The thinking behind it is that we'll wean the mom off and therefore the baby won't be getting as much, so there'll be a less of a risk of any kind of withdrawal reaction for the baby. But what we're seeing, though, is that there's been nothing more than, you know, a few hours to maximum a couple of days of some shakiness sometimes we see from the babies whose moms have been taking medication. But again, that doesn't happen all the time, and it's transient and it's mild, and women go on with their happy lives, and they're able to bond with their babies.
Mm. I think there's still a lot of wariness, though. I mean, I guess my mother would have been around when thalidomide was prescribed many years ago, you know, and I know she refused to take anything, and I'm pretty fortunate because I might have been one of those kids. Because, you know, as you said, we know what we know now.
Well, again, we're not talking thalidomide. And there are many, many reasons. That's a whole show in and of itself.
Yeah.
But the medications are so, I mean, you can't even mention them in the same sentence. You know, so, yeah, it's true we don't have 30-year follow-up studies, but these medications are so very, very different, and they are tested. And although you'll never have a clinical trial on a pregnant, you know, on pregnant women for all kinds of reasons,
mm-hmm.
we know, I mean, the Prozac was the first, medication out, you know, the first SSRI, you know, many years ago. And again, we are not seeing any indication of major malformations with any of the antidepressants. But I will say, again, that often with acupuncture, with excellent nutrition, there's specific nutrients very, very important for the mom's brain, and also for the developing baby, like omega-3 fish oil, folate, with good exercise, with light therapy, for instance. Light therapy is excellent. There are a couple of different kinds. With with various other amino acids and calcium, magnesium, and breaks and sleep and good therapy. I mean, often we don't need to go the medication route at all.
Yeah.
And often women call me and say, oh, I don't want to go on an antidepressant, or I want to get off my antidepressant. Can you please help me? Obviously, I never promise her, but I can say that, oh, probably a good eight out of 10 times we're able to do that.
Yeah, because I think everybody wants, you know, all mothers want to do what's best for the child, and that's their usually primary concern, isn't it?
Exactly. If they're breastfeeding, they want to make sure that, you know, the babies aren't affected negatively. And again, we have no indication that babies are affected negatively. And women, you know, it's very important that women understand that they don't have to choose between their mental health and breastfeeding a child, or their mental health and being pregnant. I had a woman not too long ago who called me absolutely devastated because her OB had told her that since she has bipolar disorder, she should not have children. And to me, that is absolutely ludicrous. And by the way, she is now going ahead without medication. We've been able to help her go through a pregnancy without medication at all, which is interesting. And she's very, very even and doing great. But it's so sad, you know, when doctors will tell women because of their conditions they shouldn't have kids.
Yeah,
you know, as long
definitely.
As they're willing to do what it takes, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You talk about St. John's wort in the book. So let's look at that, because many consider that to be a more natural approach. What do you think about using St. John's wort?
Well, again, what I did was put together what we know to date. Now, some people will say that, the data regarding the safety of St. John's wort and breastfeeding, honestly, is a bit confusing. So some women say, or some reports of babies being born with some colic or some drowsiness or some lethargy as compared with infants born to depressed and non-depressed moms who don't take St. John's wort. But what we are seeing is that St. John's wort seems to be a really good first choice for those who aren't pregnant or who are not nursing. But what I saw, again, if it were myself, I would not choose to take it during pregnancy, because there really isn't enough data regarding the safety of the herb who are pregnant or
right.
nursing. So it's thought to probably be safe for breastfeeding, but honestly, the effect on developing babies, personally, I would say don't do it. But again, what I did was put the research together, and women can make up their own mind.
Mm. One of the things you talk about in the book, and I think this is really valuable, is because, you know, everybody wants to have a say when somebody gets pregnant. I remember my sister going through it and getting very frustrated because everybody wanted to throw their 10 cents worth in.
Right.
How do you handle family who say, just pull yourself together. You know, you can't be depressed now. Just pull yourself together.
Well, I will empower my clients to be able to answer that. First of all, you can't just will yourself out of a clinical depression. I mean, that's like saying you can snap out of the flu.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, that's absurd. This is a real illness. This isn't just feeling blue or having a bad day. I mean, in this society, we throw around the term depression, meaning, you know, I had an argument with my boyfriend, I'm so depressed. You know, no, you're not. You're just
right.
going through a tough time right now.
Right.
This isn't a major clinical depression you're having. So, you know, I help my clients educate those around them, and saying, I can't snap out of this. I'd love to be able to. Nobody would choose to be this way, and I'm certainly not, and I'm doing the very best I can to take the steps to recover.
Mm. What are some of the most common questions that you hear from family members about this topic?
Oh, will she ever be okay? You know, she's ill now. Does that mean that she's always going to be ill? Does this mean that she's going to have postpartum depression? What can we do to prevent postpartum depression? That question I love, because there's a lot you can do to prevent it. I'm all about prevention. I hear from family members, certainly, what can we do? What can we do to help her? We want to be a support, and I'll certainly give them very practical ideas for that. One of which is to say, we're here for you, and we will see you through this, and we'll get through this together. And if she knows what she needs, they can help her out, whether that's doing chores or if she's postpartum, watching the baby or older children or going shopping for her. Also, helping her not feel alone. I mean, emotional support is extremely important. And those women who feel isolated during pregnancy or postpartum, they're high risk for a mood disorder. So the more emotional support and physical support a woman has in her network, the better off she is.
Yeah, and you have a lot of suggestions in here. You suggest light treatment as being another option.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, yoga, which is good for everybody.
Yeah, exercise and oxygenating the brain, very, very good. Yeah. Mm.
So if there's one key thing that it sounds to me like nutrition is super important, but if there's one key thing that can help avoid depression during pregnancy, what would that be?
Well, if it's a nutrient, I would say omega-3. Most definitely. I would say, that's hard. There are like five key ingredients here to prevent.
Okay, well.
But certainly, I would say education and support would be top on the list. But sleep, incredibly important. We need a good 5.5 hours straight, uninterrupted, to get a full sleep cycle. Sometimes just the sleep factor alone can make the difference between depression or no depression.
Yeah. Now, what about using sleep aids? You talk about that in the book, too.
Well, sleep aids as in medication?
Yeah.
Well, certainly there are some prescription medications that are given, even to lactating moms and pregnant moms. But often we don't need them when we use something like what I call the sleep glasses. If listeners go to lowbluelights.com, L-O-W, then the color blue, B-L-U-E, and then lights.com, they will see a pair of what looks like just sunglasses. And these very interesting glasses worn 2 to 3 hours before one goes to bed can help the melatonin, the natural melatonin in the brain, start flowing. I helped these magnificent researchers out of John Carroll University with a prenatal and postpartum study, and what we found was pretty amazing. I mean, the results were excellent. And again, this is all very natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you gave a couple of websites, and I just wanted, we want people, people need to talk to a medical professional, but if they're curious about medications and the safety of medications during pregnancy, there are a couple of websites out that you gave. One was motherrisk.org, and the other was otispregnancy.org. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend people use those sites?
Well, yeah, certainly if they want to check on safety, about data regarding safety of medications in pregnancy or for breastfeeding, those are the best ways to use them. And they're very layperson friendly. Okay. You do not have to be any kind of a medical professional yourself. You don't have to speak medical ease. You can call and speak with a real person and talk about what your concerns are, and they will give you good information.
Okay. And if they've been depressed during pregnancy, what's the best way to try and avoid this continuing into postpartum?
Speak with a specialist, a therapist who specializes in the perinatal mood disorders, such as myself. And I, by the way, I work by phone, so with women all over the world. Realistic expectations. Throw out the myths of motherhood so you really can get a good idea about what you should expect of yourself. Get a plan for sleep. Get an excellent plan for nutrition. Line up who is going to be there to emotionally support you. Who do you have to talk to? Who do you have to lean on? And a professional team included. You know, if you're working with an acupuncturist or an herbologist or certainly a therapist. You know, line them all up so you know who you have. Regular breaks throughout the week to make sure that you are nurtured and you don't get lost in the shuffle. You know, it's not all about the baby. You count, and it's extremely important that a child is raised with a mom who knows how to take care of herself. Also, exercise. So those are some key ingredients to preventing problems, not only recovering.
Okay, that sounds like great advice. I also want to let our listeners know that you have a great website. You have a blog, and there's some video on there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, certainly. Yes, thank you. DrShosh.com, so DrShosh.com. There's loads of information on there. There's CDs, DVDs, there are free audio downloads. There is a blog. There are lots of pieces of information that might be helpful to new mothers and also new fathers. So I invite people to come and take a look and to email me their comments or just write on the blog, and I'll be delighted to meet them there.
And give us the website again.
Yes.
Could you give that to us?
DrShosh.com, DrShosh.com.
Well, I really appreciate you being with us today. And if there's one thing that you'd like to leave to the expectant fathers, what would that be?
Well, watch out for yourselves, too. Make sure you are taking, you take good care of yourself, because it's important. She's going to be depending on you. And it's important that dads take care of themselves and keep an eye on her. If there's anything that looks awry and she's not acting like herself, put your arm around her, say, sweetie, you deserve to be happy. Let's get you some help and we will get through this together.
Sounds great. I really appreciate being with us today. It's an important subject. It affects many, many people.
Thanks so much. It was really my pleasure.
Thanks again. And my guest, Dr. Shoshana Bennett, her book is called Pregnant on Prozac, and it's the essential guide to making the best decision for you and your baby. It's really the only kind of guide that I have seen on this topic, and it's packed full of really good, solid information. And we will take a break. We're going to try and get hold of Dr. Mario Skuga. I think Eric's having little difficulty right now, but we'll do what we can during the break. And we'll be back shortly. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Coming next week on Conversations Live, we continue the third Monday series with conversations exploring careers, business, and how to build your own unique work lifestyle. He's a former engineer, but some now call Ben Ha the world's foremost expert in the captioning of cat pictures. Some say he's allergic to cats. Either way, his highly successful companies based right here in Seattle are party in the front, business in the back. Ben Ha's internet businesses have been written up in newspapers around the world, and he joins Vicky to share the secrets to his global success and how you can apply similar strategies to bring people to your business. Later, career consultant Andrea Kay will give us an update on how to navigate today's career market. Andrea's noticed that many co-workers are hurting themselves, and she'll share how to unblock the fear that's clouding good common sense. We'll also discuss how to develop a cohesive action plan that gets results. That's all coming next Monday at noon on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping Paws care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
So we bought a pack of cigarettes, and Mrs. Wagner pies, and walked off to look for America.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And we are having difficulty getting hold of Dr. Mario Skuga. I don't know if he got called away on an emergency, but we're trying all of the five numbers that I have for him. And Dr. Shoshana, I wanted to ask her actually about pregnancy and the thyroid, and we ran out of time. So she's still with me, Dr. Shoshana Bennett. And let's look at what happens to the thyroid during pregnancy, because you mentioned that in the book, and I know Dr. Mario Skuga mentioned it too in his book.
Yes. And, the thyroid can go up and down and all around. I'm sure when the doctor comes on, he can talk in much more physiological terms. But the thyroid really can be all over the place during pregnancy and postpartum. And it's very interesting to track and measure what's happening, especially if a woman has a thyroid, a history of a thyroid disorder. But the best time to check a thyroid postpartum is about 2 months. Because it's very common for a woman to be hypothyroid and then hyperthyroid and then again hypo, but it takes about 2 months for the thyroid to level out. So if at 2 months a woman is tested, which I believe every postpartum woman should be tested, because 10%, I mean, we're talking a high statistic, a high number of women, 1 in 10, have a thyroid disorder after they deliver. Now, hypothyroidism, an underactive thyroid, can mimic postpartum depression. Depression is a symptom of hypothyroidism. Mm. And the opposite, the hyperthyroidism, the overactive thyroid, can look like a high anxiety or even a panic disorder. So often women can really be, they can be inappropriately treated if they're not tested for a thyroid. And there are a number of tests that I outline in both Postpartum Depression for Dummies and Pregnant on Prozac that are very important for the thyroid panel.
Yeah, and my sister has 3 kids, and with 2 of her kids, she went into that hyperthyroidism. She was extremely agitated, and I mean, she would tell you this if she were here. She'd lose it at the, you know, emotionally, get very upset very quickly for no apparent reason. Yes. And, with the third one, she went the opposite way.
Yes.
So,
yes,
yeah.
That's not unusual. That's not unusual. And what's very, very good is that she was tested. Many women, you know, they go months and months, sometimes years, with a thyroid problem. And, you know, all the antidepressant in the world is not going to help her reach 100% wellness if there's a thyroid disease going on.
Mm. So what happens when your professionals disagree? I mean, you do address this in the book, and I know it happens a lot. Just referring to Dr. Mario Skuga's book, he was talking about one patient who was sent to him with Alzheimer's, and that turned out to be a thyroid condition. So how do you recommend patients with depression during pregnancy handle those kind of discrepancies?
And, you know, it's so important here with depression, we're not trusting ourselves anyway, and our own judgment might be impaired slightly. But what's very important, for instance, let's say the OB says, sure, here's an antidepressant, it's fine, and the pediatrician says, I'm not sure, and the psychiatrist, you know, it can be very confusing. What is most important is that you listen to the professionals with the most clinical expertise. And I define clinical expertise as actual hands-on experience using these medications, during pregnancy, postpartum, really people who specialize, not just book learning. Because if you're working with a doctor, could be a very good doctor in their own specialty, but if you're asking a doctor, for instance, about information about a medication during pregnancy, and that doctor reaches for the PDR, you know, the physician's desk reference, that humongous book that sits on their desk, and they're taking a look in there, you're not working with the right doctor for this particular issue. That's way too restrictive. Sometimes it's actually wrong information in there, but it's not enough information. So you want somebody who has this information at the tip of their brain. They're working with women in your situation all the time, and they know how to dose, they know how to monitor, they know what's okay and what's not.
Mm. Now, I just want to let our listeners know that we were expecting Dr. Mario Skuga to join us to talk about thyroid disorder, and unfortunately, Eric is still trying. We've got 5 numbers and we're calling them consistently. Can't get hold of him. And Dr. Shoshana Bennett very kindly agreed to give us some more time here so we could go deeper into this subject. You talk about guidelines for choosing a therapist for those who don't want to go any kind of medical route. Again, we're looking for somebody who specializes in pregnancy.
Yes, and certainly working with a specialist is very, very important. But again, when you're choosing a therapist, let's say you're working in you're living in a place in the country that doesn't have anybody nearby who specializes. you at least want to work with somebody who is open-minded, who is willing to learn, who consult with another therapist who does have the information, someone you feel you really click with. You want to make sure that rapport is there. You want to make sure you are feeling understood. And by a couple of sessions, you want to have that feeling that this is someone who is understanding you and who can give you practical guidelines for getting through this. Because when we are depressed in pregnancy or postpartum, you know, we just need to be told what to do. you know, how do you put one foot in front of the other? So you need to be working with somebody with practical information. And very frequently, a woman might be very comfortable with her regular therapist, but that person is not able to deal with the specialty. So when she gets pregnant or when she's a new mother, that very good therapist might be out of her realm of expertise. It really might be out of her scope of practice. So a good therapist will say, talk to a specialist. Get that specialized piece of the puzzle that you need and then come back to me. And so I have a very good working relationship with therapists of all kinds, and we'll do just that. Give the woman the piece of her wellness puzzle, the pregnancy piece of the postpartum, and then she will just go back and work with her regular therapist. It's a very beautiful combination.
Yeah. Now, when somebody's got postpartum depression, oftentimes it isn't diagnosed because of the hormone. You know, people will just say, oh, it's just hormones, it's fluctuation, it's natural.
Yes.
What are some of the giveaway signs that this is more than that?
Very good. Well, first of all, baby blues is normal. Baby blues is mild and it's transient, and it really should be gone by the first 2 weeks postpartum. So there are two ways you tell the difference between the baby blues and postpartum depression. One is how long the symptoms last. Again, anything after 2 weeks, we now call it postpartum depression, even if it's mild.
Oh, just 2 weeks?
A couple of weeks,
yeah,
2 to 3 weeks, that's right. Now, again, it doesn't mean that the woman has severe depression and she needs medication or she needs, you know, no, not necessarily, but she needs some kind of intervention so it doesn't keep going. Very important. The other way you tell the difference is by the severity of the symptoms. As in my case, once that placenta was delivered, I plummeted down to the bottom of that proverbial well. And so even if it overlaps the baby blues period of the first couple of weeks, she shouldn't wait. The woman should get help right away. So very common symptoms are anxiety, lack of energy, forgetfulness, certainly low self-esteem. If she's thinking that the baby's rejecting her, like my baby doesn't like me or my baby doesn't want to drink my milk, those are not normal statements of a new mother. Hopelessness, overwhelm. If things that used to just roll off her back very easily now feel too much for her, that's a sign.
And that might be written off as well. You might say, well, I'm just learning to cope with a new baby in the house, and you might write that off yourself, right?
Certainly. And many women do. They're saying, well, that maybe this is normal, maybe this will just go away, it'll go away. This stuff does not necessarily go away on its own. One of the ways you can tell the difference if you're a new mom is, you know, do you have a perspective? In other words, does it feel like, for most of the day, do you feel like you, or for most of the day, you know, is your life so interrupted by these symptoms that you're really having a hard time functioning? That's a way to kind of tune in and say, are these symptoms taking over? Am I so irritable and angry that I'm snapping at my toddler? Am I yelling at my husband when I know he doesn't deserve it? You know, am I having trouble sleeping at night when my baby sleeps? That's a big giveaway. Any kind of insomnia is a definite red flag.
Mm. And how do I know if I fall in the high risk category? Is it because we've had a family history of depression, or?
Yeah, certainly a personal history, a family history as well. If she's had a postpartum depression before, she's at an 80% risk to do it again, especially if she hasn't had a good plan of action or she doesn't have a good plan of prevention. And definitely if she's had PMS in the past or PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, if she has reacted with negative mood changes to the birth control pill, that's also a sign that she's high risk. But most importantly, what women need to know is that no one is immune. Even if you don't have any history of depression or negative mood changes, it's like a roulette wheel.
Oh.
We just never know when those particular particular factors are going to collide in such a way that the brain chemistry is affected.
Mm. Well, I really appreciate you staying on with us today, giving us great information here.
Certainly, my pleasure.
And we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. My guest, Dr. Shoshana Bennett, her book, Pregnant on Prozac, and you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done.
Coming next week on Conversations Live, we continue the third Monday series with conversations exploring careers, business, and how to build your own unique work lifestyle. He's a former engineer, but some now call Ben Ha the world's foremost expert in the captioning of cat pictures. Some say he's allergic to cats. Either way, his highly successful companies based right here in Seattle are party in the front, business in the back. Ben Ha's internet businesses have been written up in newspapers around the world, and he joins Vicky to share the secrets to his global success and how you can apply similar strategies to bring people to your business. Later, career consultant Andrea Kay will give us an update on how to navigate today's career market. Andrea's noticed that many co-workers are hurting themselves, and she'll share how to unblock the fear that's clouding good common sense. We'll also discuss how to develop a cohesive action plan that gets results. That's all coming next Monday at noon on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And I have to apologize for those listeners who sent questions in. We had about half a dozen listeners send questions in for Dr. Mario Scugo because we cannot get hold of him. We've done everything we possibly can and we still are trying. But we have answered all of the questions that listeners sent in for Dr. Shoshana Bennett. And I really appreciate you staying around with us, Dr. Shosh, because this is an important subject, depression during pregnancy. And another important topic, and this is kind of timely because I watched Marley and Me yesterday, the movie. And one of the lines that Jennifer Aniston's character spoke about motherhood was, "Nobody tells you it's going to be this hard."
That's right. I mean, one of the things I love to do is to really dispel the fantasies about motherhood. So, and actually, this is the last chapter of Postpartum Depression for Dummies is about the 10 common fantasies of motherhood. Would you like me to run through them real quickly?
Yes, please do.
One of them is, "This should be the happiest time in my life." I mean, this is supposed to be the happiest time in my life. People say that, you know, I'm really doomed. You know, I mean, the truth is when a baby first joins your family, it's like boot camp. This is the hardest time. You know, it's not that there can't be some joy. There can. But most of the good stuff comes later. You know, it's after you've healed from the incisions and your life has really calmed down. So, you know, between recovering from stitches and aching and places that you didn't even know existed and fatigue and sweats and all that, you know, again, good stuff comes later. So don't think that this should be the happiest time in my life. The next one is I should be able to do everything myself. You know, in today's society, you know, we value self-reliance to the point that we think that we should be able to handle it all. And it's so important to elicit help, to say, yes, thank you, when somebody offers. You know, there's a pile of laundry over there. Can you please fold it? Learn how to say yes. It's not a weakness. It's a strength. It takes a whole community to do this. It's not just a one-person job, even a two-person job. So, you know, it's interesting. With any other new job, you'd have a mentor showing you the ropes, you know, and the first 3 months would be an introductory period, you know, mm-hmm. in which you didn't have a full workload. So, but we suddenly expect ourselves to be able to do this automatically just because we're mothers. Mm. The next myth is I shouldn't need breaks. You know, a myth, it's we not only need breaks, it's essential, absolutely essential. Every healthy mother on the planet takes regular breaks away from her child or her children and home. She needs to be able to regroup, to recharge, to really nurture herself without being on duty with them or doing tasks for the house. So I'm a big believer in getting a few chunks of regular breaks. Sometimes they're quickie breaks, but I'm more in favor of the two-hour breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Breastfeed that kid if you're breastfeeding, then get out the door and do something just for you. No picking up diapers. You know, this is the only job where breaks aren't mandated by law.
Yes, true.
If you don't set them up, they don't happen.
Yeah.
So I can do some more. Do we have time?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Another one is that my life won't change that much. Well, that's a joke. You know, and any new mother out there is probably giggling. You know, but again, that's a fantasy that it'll just be our life plus baby.
Oh,
and the baby will just sleep through that dinner at the fancy restaurant, right? Well, yeah, not usually. So you get used to it. Takes a little logistical planning. The next one is my needs shouldn't matter. And, you know, women who believe this really end up burning out. They think, you know, they should keep sacrificing her needs, and it's all about everybody else. And this is not healthy for the entire family. If she's sacrificing herself, then the entire family unit will not be healthy. Her needs count.
Absolutely.
Think of the oxygen mask. You place oxygen mask. What do they tell us in the airplane?
Put it on yourself first, because you can't help anybody else if you can't breathe.
Ta-da. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. Very good. Another myth is bonding happens immediately after birth, or immediately at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And this really worries women when their babies need to be taken to the neonatal intensive care unit, or she's had a C-section and she can't hold her baby. You know, we are not giving birth to baby geese. You know, where there's the imprinting that happens immediately. Bonding is a process that happens over time. It's a process of familiarity, of getting to know each other. So there's nothing to worry about there. There isn't like a magic few minutes that if you miss it, it will be gone. So please, please don't worry about that. Another myth is breastfeeding is natural. It should come easily. You know, women have been using these watermelons hanging from their chest for years and years and years, and it should be simple. Not so. We need to be taught how to do it. And I've got three more quickly. Mothering is instinctual. That's a myth. It's
right.
A myth. You know, it's learned by experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it were instinctual, then no one would be selling any parenting books.
True.
You know, we are all searching for the answers.
True.
Right, and the other thing to remember is just because a certain plan might have worked with your first, it doesn't mean that, you know, your second child is going to respond the same way, so it's back to the drawing board.
Well, my mother always said if she'd had my sister first, she was the last, she was the third. If she'd had her first, she never, ever would have had children, more children.
Oh, dear.
Not because she's horrible or anything, but she was difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we're told that, you know, we should know what our baby's cries mean, and it should just be instinctual. Well, my kids' cries sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
And you know, when I asked my husband, I said, do you know what her cries mean? He didn't either.
Yeah.
So I, you know, don't take it personal.
So we have one more very quickly, and then we have to go.
Sure, sure. You know, I should feel satisfied being a stay-at-home mom. Is one of another one. And you know, whatever. There isn't a one-size-fits-all, and I want women to know that whatever a plan is that's working well for her, if she feels good and solid being a stay-at-home mother and she can swing it financially and all that, then great. But she shouldn't feel guilty if she feels she needs more stimulation in the left hemisphere of her brain and she wants to be at work part-time or full-time. Really, each to her own, and there isn't one way to do it, and she really needs to follow her gut.
Mm. Well, I certainly appreciate you staying with us today and giving such great information for women during pregnancy. And your website again is drshosh.com, correct?
Correct. drshosh.com. And thank you so much for the invitation, Vicki. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I know you have some, you have a CD up there about the myths of motherhood, too.
Yes, and there are free downloads. There will also be a CD on this week. If it's not there today, it will be very shortly on this exact topic, how to dispel the myths of motherhood so you can relax and enjoy and have realistic expectations.
Yeah. Keep it real. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Shoshana Bennett. Her book, Pregnant on Prozac, The Essential Guide to Making the Best Decision for You and Your Baby. And I do apologize to those listeners who were looking to get answers today on their thyroid questions. We did everything we could to find Dr. Martin. Eric's nodding his head because he's been running around like a blue fly here trying to get hold of him. But, you know, we'll see what we can do to get those questions answered for you. And thanks for being with us. We'll be back next week. And it's the third Monday series next week. And until then, live well, live strong. Mm-hmm.